Jan, you carried out research at the VA in your recent film project on mental health practices in the military. What did you find out in doing your research?
Well, the VA clinics and healthcare centers, which includes hospitals and a range of clinics and nursing homes, cemeteries, I mean, it's quite an expansive system intended to provide an array of service for those who serve in the military. I mean, it's no socialist paradise, but nor is it the hell that critics claim. And if there is a hell, it's often the hell brought to the staff there and these centers by the stories and wounds, some visible, some not, of veterans. One of the social workers I interviewed at the Portland VA Center described the sadness that staff often carry as they care for veterans, as well as the outrage at times over the wars that got them there. She referred to a plaque displayed on the large atrium wall that you see when you enter the VA up center up on the hill, and it says something like, "What you see here is the price of freedom." She said what that plaque should really say is, "What you see here is the price of war." Indeed, entering a VA hospital, sitting in the waiting area, provides a kind of palpable window into the long-term consequences of military service and the chronic conditions of many veterans who generally get very good care. In a 2012 book called Best Care Anywhere, Philip Longman tells the story of the turnaround of the Department of Veterans Affairs healthcare system from a pretty dysfunctional bureaucracy in the 90s into what he claims is a benchmark for high quality medicine overall in the United States. And the book, which suggests that it should be an example for the single-payer system as a whole, is supported by considerable research comparing the VA system to other healthcare organizations in the U.S., organizations from the RAND Corporation to various national health studies, claim that overall veterans have more efficient, effective care than comparable systems in the private sector. And the care is done more cheaply in a way that specifically addresses their need. Most veterans associations, including the American Legion, oppose a voucher system and privatizing the VA and are overall quite happy with the VA system in spite of the enormity of its tasks and its ongoing problems.
So its problems, for instance, its wait times are not really that much worse than privately run hospitals, or is there a difference because of the nature of the population that they're serving, or how does it compare to private hospitals?
Given the enormity of the demands on the VA, which not only include healthcare services, both acute and chronic, but also managing an enormous and in many ways unwieldy benefit system. You know, there's been this enormous outcry about the 2-month waiting lists of veterans at some of the VA clinics, and yet in one comparable study, people in Los Angeles waited an average of 59 days. In Boston, they waited an average of 63 days. In Washington, D.C., it was 30 days.
And that's in private hospitals rather than VA hospitals in those cities.
Yeah, and VA hospitals have enormous tasks. There also are places where veterans act out a lot of their anger. Some of the staff talked about, you know, violence of veterans who come in, many still armed, are used to being armed, which becomes kind of a psychological kind of form of armor after they leave service, and sometimes displace their anger toward the military that often dumps them at the end of their service. There's a tremendous focus on group solidarity, camaraderie, we're all in a family. When your service is over, that's it. So unless you're in the active component, which is professional military, and if you are in the Guard or the Reserve units, which are a large part of the military veteran population, you kind of get dumped. And they have been working on that transition from the Department of Defense to the VA. So what a lot of staff get is the rage and sadness as well as trauma, which of course gets talked about a lot, but not so much how the distress of war produces rage and veterans getting very angry and upset and it's harder to direct that towards the remote military, the Department of Defense, than those staff members, the nurses and clinic staff at your local VA, which is not to say there are not problems there, but it's kind of overdetermined by military experience and war in general.
And is it shaped at all by questions of funding cuts? Has the VA been, you know, is this a case of starving the beast? Is there a problem with understaffing or lack of resources to provide the services that veterans need?
Yeah, and it's much like the public schools in areas where problems are chronic. And the VA, a lot of problems are chronic. Staff told me that one of the main healthcare ongoing complaints is back pain, as well as chronic mental health problems. But there are other ongoing, you know, people served during World War II are still accessing VA services and often applying for disability benefits. So the nature of chronic problems that are not so easily resolved as they are in affluent communities where there's an acute medical situation and then it's resolved and people have an underlying state of health. So there's that issue. There's also a confound here in that the VA was among the first of the healthcare systems to track their waiting lists and access to care. So data is often a product of the data you gathered, and they've been quite forward-looking in really monitoring many aspects of veterans' needs and care. So there's also that issue that it's always a little compared to what, and we don't have good comparative data, particularly on, perhaps a good comparative would be county clinics in underserved areas around the country who face similar problems and populations.
So the VA is a system that is, in addition to having some gaps between the different systems of healthcare in the country, moving from the Department of Defense to the VA, there are also problems with the nature of the population and the lack of resources.
And the lack of a single-payer healthcare system in this country. The most common access to VA for people who are not in the active component is through a disability benefit, which ranges from 10 to 100%. A low-level disability will allow you access to health care in the VA. So I think it's an interesting question what level of disability we would have associated with war if we had a fully funded single-payer health care system in this country.